Did this MI6 agent die from a secret fetish, or was he hunted by foreign intelligence?
Gareth Williams was a smart and bright young boy. He was from Wales, and Welsh was his first language, followed by English. He studied mathematics part-time at Bangor University while still in his secondary school. He finally graduated when he was 17 with first-class honours. He went to the University of Manchester for his PhD, and nearly did another postgraduate course in Cambridge, but left to work in Cheltenham at GCHQ in 2001. Which is a government communications headquarters. It is one of three UK intelligence security agencies. The others are MI5 and MI6. At the time of this case, he was on a three-year secondment at the MI6 in London. He never told his family about his work or cases, but he did tell them a bit about the work culture itself. His sister recalled him saying, quote, he disliked office culture, post-war drinks, flash car competitions, and the rat race. He was desperate to finish his secondment and go back to work for GCHQ in London, as he was a country boy and the city life did not quite suit him. On August 16th, he failed to attend a work meeting, and a couple of days later, his colleagues had told the police that he hadn't contacted them in several days, and so the police went to check on him. When they entered, they noted that the heating was on and it was quite hot, and then they found his remains in the bath. His decomposing body was found inside a red duffel bag, which had been padlocked from the outside.
Why did it take them a week to go round and look? You would think an organization so intelligent, or at least as far as we're aware, this is the British intelligence agency, right? So you would think that they were smart enough. Why is it taking a week for them to realize, hold on, one of our agents is missing? And by the sounds of it, he was very much working on some serious cases,
That doesn't make sense. And his friends or family at least would have been like, haven't heard from Gareth in a few days.
A little bit suspicious that it has taken an entire week. Another point to note, actually, is about his decomposing body, because the heating was still left on. Either it was a total surprise, someone's come in, got him, and he obviously just had his heating on. Or someone has left it on purposely because they wanted his body to decompose faster. Obviously, in the heat, the body decomposes quicker. In the cold, it obviously stays there and is more intact. So you can imagine inside a bag as well. I mean, that's keeping the heat together.
Check me out as well. This was in August. So why would the heating be on in the first place?
Yeah, in the UK, August, you wouldn't really have your heating on.
Not a chance. Yeah. It'd be really hot, most likely.
Especially nowadays with the cost of energy.
Yeah, amen. Right?
After searching the flat in Pimlico, it was concluded that there was no sign of forced entry, nor any DNA which pointed to anyone else having visited his home. All his personal items were visible and nothing seemed to be missing. There were no fingerprints on the bag nor the bath, and there were inconclusive fragments of DNA components on the bag. This led to his family claiming that crucial DNA had been wiped off and theorized it was part of a cover-up story. Afterwards, his date of death was concluded to have been on the morning of the 16th of August. Coroner Fiona Wilcox also said that there was no sign of any alcohol or drugs in his system, and no injuries on his body, which led to the Met Police to call his death suspicious and unexplained. Scotland Yard couldn't find any of Gareth's fingerprints on the zip of the bag, pushing to the theory that somebody else had been there and was involved in closing the bag. However, an expert was eventually brought in for an examination, and he had come to the conclusion that Gareth could have not locked himself in the bag.
No fingerprints at all in the bathroom. No fingerprints on the bathtub. The padlock didn't have fingerprints. So many questions here. It really points to this being like a very professional job.
They've managed to clean up after themselves pretty well. They found nothing. They found nothing that belongs to anybody else.
And when you're dealing with the, this high level, I mean, these guys are trained killers. You know, they are, I guess, hitmen. They work, this is their job, is to kill. They ain't making mistakes like
this.
Not
a chance.
It would be very rare.
And I imagine they'd be wearing gloves,
Oh, mate. 100%. At least.
So
if something like this was happening.
Anyway.
It's tough to find anything, but no evidence like that. So they were already off to a pretty tough start, honestly. Another clue that really really points towards the fact that this was a professional job, right? The fact that he's put him in a bag, right? Now, let's say you've left a decomposing body in a bag on just your floor. A lot of the times, the way these things get found out is the person living below you will either notice some sort of like leakage or something, you know, body fluids going through the ground, and it will start like dampening their roof, or there'll be questions raised, right? But this, whoever did this, put it in the bathtub. Now, obviously, the bathtub's got its own drainage system, so he doesn't need to worry about that happening. And so the longer that he can keep him in the flat with no one noticing, the longer it takes for their body to decompose, the less chance of them even finding out how he died, who killed him, all this sort of stuff. So for me, so far, this is definitely pointing to a very professional job here.
100%.
This video is sponsored by Heights Smart Supplements. Now, if you're tired, struggle for energy, anxiety, any of that sort of stuff, it is actually a fact that 99% of people don't get the correct nutrients for their brain.
Factos.
What they do is they actually send you a big package with all the supplements that you need for a certain amount every single month. So you can send that and then you don't have to worry about having to take XYZ, because in these supplements, they have everything you're gonna need. It's two capsules every single day with 20 high quality vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants that take care of your entire body. So if you're one of those people that just don't have time to, you know, go out and find all this stuff separately, well, they've done the job for you and they've made it really easy so that it all comes together at once. Now, if this is something of interest to you guys, then make sure you go to yourheights.com and you'll get 15% off your quarterly subscription if you use the code CRIME. So remember, check out yourheights.com and use the code CRIME at checkout to get your 15% off. Check it out, guys. You won't regret it.
Gareth had a private funeral service on 26th of September 2010, which was attended by his relatives, colleagues, friends, and many ex-intelligence service officials. Due to Gareth's secret work, there was a lot of questions as to who would be investigating his death. Although he was from the UK, he had qualified for operational deployment and was working with the US National Security Agency and with the FBI. Once they heard what had happened and realized an investigation was about to take place, the US Department had asked that no information or documents which concerned Gareth in the US should surface. And so the Foreign Secretary at the time signed a public interest immunity certificate, which allowed those documents to be kept private. Later on, there was a coroner's inquest, as the cause of death was still unknown. It found that Gareth's hand had been contaminated by one of the forensic scientist's hands, which reaffirmed the theory put forward by the family. The forensic company did go on to apologize to the family. It also found that it was impossible for Gareth to have locked himself in the bag. Two experts had tried to lock themselves into a bag around 400 times, but failed to do so. However, it was concluded that he was alive when he got in, as it would have been very hard to put his dead body into the bag. Close to the last days of the inquest, some suspicious behavior was reported. The SIS was found to have kept evidence to themselves, and their methods of interviewing Gareth's co-workers was deemed as strange. There were 9 USB sticks found in Gareth's work locker, which contained highly sensitive information. The SIS didn't mention any of this until days before the inquest finished. By the end of the inquest, the coroner had concluded his death was unnatural and that he was killed unlawfully. The coroner had also been critical of the fact that the SIS didn't report Gareth missing for a week, which could have led to a loss of forensic evidence. The coroner said evidence was hugely mishandled. There were some media stories, which I mentioned later, which tried to link Gareth to bondage and escapism. The coroner also dismissed this theory and dismissed erotic activity in this case and claimed the cross-dressing leaks were possible media manipulation attempts. The coroner claimed that she believes there was a third party involved. The inquest led to another investigation by the Met Police into the death. It lasted for around a year and found no new leads. They concluded he probably accidentally locked himself in the bag and died alone.
Now, when the police did their own investigation, they actually took down the door, knocked down the door, and the lock of the crime scene was taken off. And I feel like that could have definitely contaminated the crime scene off the bat, because they were saying there was no forced entry. But it's like, would you have really known if you'd taken down the door? Like, surely that might have been
check?
A bit more.
How are you gonna
also
check?
If this is a professional job, they're not just booting the door down. That's too abrasive. It doesn't make sense. They're a lot more calculated. They know what they're doing. Maybe they pick the lock. Maybe, you know, whatever happened. I'm not too sure that it would have just been a case of, oh, there's a forced entry. It's too obvious.
Mm. I think they would have been waiting in the apartment for him. Great point. Something like that.
It might sound a little bit Hollywood, but when you're dealing with these sort of top-level professionals...
I imagine that's a situation, that scenario.
Not only that, but let's talk about the SIS, or that it's a combination of MI5 and the MI6. It's the Secret Service, really, for the UK. And they were conducting their own investigation on this. And they actually said that they contaminated the scene as well.
Wow.
My biggest question to you, Chip, right, is if you're bringing in these highly intelligent people, surely at that level, when they're probably dealing with the most sensitive cases, the most important cases, do they really make mistakes like that?
Mm. Well, it says that they contaminated the scene by taking away another duffel bag. So
yeah,
that duffel
with
bag,
with important
which,
information
yeah,
in it.
But they took it away for a reason,
yeah.
Surely.
Yeah.
It has some, he's an MI6 agent. It's definitely got stuff in it that was sensitive. Sensitive information, they had to take it away.
So my point is, though, would they have just said they contaminated it to sort of sweep it under the rug? Nobody needs to know what happened here. Mm. Like, they sort of know, hey, it might have been a foreign intelligence, but we don't need this getting out. We'll take the blame for this. We'll say we contaminated it.
Yeah.
And that's why we don't know what's happened. When they're trying to, like, cast as much doubt and... they just don't know what's happened here. They're trying to make it seem like they don't know what's happened, but I think they know exactly what's happened.
Mm.
In December 2010, police had released information about the case, which contained details about Gareth and his life. Apparently, he had visited numerous bondage websites, but this was disregarded as they weren't visited that often. However, they also released information about the high-end female clothing which they found in his wardrobe, which came to around £20,000. He also had 26 pairs of female shoes alongside wigs and makeup. This also led to his landlady telling the police that 3 years prior to his death, he called for help from his room as he couldn't escape from the tied up position which he had put himself in. However, he claimed it was practice to see if he could free himself. Detectives also found tickets to a drag cabaret show in his apartment. The media ate this up and completely forgot about the origin of the case and how SIS forgot to report him missing for a week. Thus, the coroner claimed that she believed that this was part of a media manipulation attempt. This news further pushed people to believe he had killed himself due to escapism. People speculated he was into it or was practicing for work. Others brought up the theory of claustrophilia, which is a fetish where people enjoy being put into trunks, boxes, and cages.
The media really tried to spin this one and make it come across as if he had, like, this whole, like, personal life secrets where his fetish and everything took over and that was the result of his death. But we have to look, for me, the biggest thing that takes away from this theory, at least, is the fact that experts tried over 400 times and failed to lock themselves in that duffel bag.
Yes.
So either Gareth had some insane way of pulling this off that no experts could even figure out, or it just didn't happen. And I'd be inclined to, just from that statement alone, I struggle to believe that he locked himself in.
Yeah, I don't think he locked himself in. And also, you would see, like, signs of trying to escape, like, under his fingernails, whatever. I imagine if you were dying in a bag, you'd be scratching at that thing as hard as possible to get out.
Yeah.
There would be signs of him trying to escape, and there wasn't. So, hella sauce.
Yeah, they do say, though, that he was alive when he got put in there. Now, listen, this might sound absolutely nuts, and I could be going off on a tangent here, but let me know. Now, this is very movie-based, right? But in movies, they can give people something that completely paralyzes them. They can still move, but they have no control over their body, but they're still completely awake.
Some kind of toxin, like, yeah, I can see that.
Do they do that? They put me, I mean, we have to remember, like, to your average killer, to your killer on the street, I'd be like, no way, that is a reach. But with the people that we're dealing with, the fact that you're probably dealing with professional killers here, working for government, I have no doubt that they had this sort of stuff available to them.
Yeah, I'm thinking something like that. They drugged him, they put him in, because they're saying it would be really difficult to get a dead person inside a bag, which it would, because they're just not responding, and nothing's going to move the way you want it to.
Might be stiff.
Yeah, I like that idea, the toxin idea. I'm with it.
Once the coroner had done their inquest, right, she actually came out and said that she thinks this whole fetish theory is very much just a media spin. Mm. And I'd be super inclined to agree with that. With what we've just spoken about, it just seems so obvious. It's like, right, we have to blame this on something. Let's just say that he was into, you know, claustrophobia fetishes and escapism and things like that. And we'll just say that's what it was. It just seems so obvious.
Yeah, because like the media and the public, they're gonna eat that up.
Yeah.
It's quite an interesting story. Like MI6 agent with secret fetish locks himself in bag and kills himself.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not having it.
Nope.
Apparently somebody had asked Gareth to find a guest list for a Bill Clinton party. If this were the case and he breached the security and hacked a guest list, maybe the security or even the very high up people on the guest list could have wanted him dead. Or maybe he was digging too much into some cases or knew too much about certain cases or agencies, and so people wanted him out of the picture. He had those 9 USB sticks in his work locker with very sensitive information on them. Also, he was about a week away from transferring back to GCHQ from MI6, and he disappeared and died. What if he knew too much about the MI6? He was adamant he wanted to leave and work for GCHQ as he wanted to be in the countryside. What if the MI6 couldn't convince him to stay and couldn't risk him knowing all the information? What if they believed that they either should have him or no one else should?
Is death really a suitable punishment for hacking a guest list?
No. And it also says somebody asked Gareth, like, that a lot comes down to who was that someone?
Yeah.
Was it someone high up in MI6?
Yeah.
Was it a random guy off the street? Because you're not going to get fired if your boss asks you to do it. Like, you know, maybe it was important that they needed that guest list.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't see him getting killed over that.
Nah.
That's a bit far, but the MI6 killing him off because they didn't want him to leave, maybe.
Yeah.
But again, like, it's a bit mad, but maybe he knew so much.
Yeah, this is the thing. Like, I never want to doubt something like that because I'm sure this sort of stuff does actually happen.
Mm.
But you'd have to think, right? If people were going to leave the MI6, imagine knowing that you would never join a company or an organization, an agency, that you would be killed if you were going to leave. They have to have some sort of process in which, let's say you said you were going to leave.
Yep.
They have to have a process there in place for everyone that has sensitive, you know, a lot of sensitive stuff. They just have to have a process in there in which they limit that. I mean, surely, like, killing the person off isn't the answer to everybody that leaves MI6 with sensitive information. It just seems so extreme.
Yes. It's a bit too much because there's going to be a lot of people.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people that don't stay at MI6 forever.
Yeah.
I'm sure they know something.
Or maybe.
No,
or
I don't think that is that, you know, like, I don't think that would be the case. I think you're right. Too many people do leave the Secret Service, whatever. Like, what, you're just going to kill everyone?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No.
Unless it was really such a specific thing that he knew and it was really,
like, threatened national security.
There was going to be World War III over this thing. I mean, but even then, I just think it's too much of a reach, personally. Well, let's go on to the next one now.
In 2015, a former KGB agent, Boris Karpichkov, said that his sources in Russia told him that Gareth was assassinated by the Russian Foreign Intelligence Service. This was because the Russian Foreign Intelligence tried to turn him as a double agent, but he responded by naming the double agent who worked for them within the UK's secret intelligence, leading the Russians to decide to kill him, as they couldn't compromise the other agent. Boris claimed they used an untraceable poison which entered through the air. A high-ranking US intelligence source had said the Kremlin has aggressively stepped up its efforts to eliminate and silence its enemies abroad over the past couple of years, particularly in Britain. There have been about 14 deaths, including Gareth's, which suggests Russian involvement, and some officials demand that the UK investigate these deaths further. In all these cases, the police had ruled out foul play, whilst intelligence agencies have been compiling information and trying to connect the deaths to Russia. Two senior British police officers who knew about the case confirmed that some of the work he had been doing was focused on tracing international money laundering routes that are used by organised crime groups, including Moscow-based mafia cells.
This one's interesting, right? And I'm not... Let's just start, Chip. What do you think of this thing?
I like it a little bit. I mean, the Russians came to him, said, look, come be a double agent for us. I'm sure they had a tempting offer. He said no, and he's gone back to the Russians and said, actually, I know who your agent is in MI6 already. That's probably got them shaking in the boots, and they've gone, right, Gareth Williams, he's got to go. And they've killed him with this special poison that can apparently be put into the air. Sounds something straight out of a movie, but we know this does happen. We know, we've heard it's been a news, Russian poisonings before in England. We know this happens.
I was literally going to say,
plausible.
Remember my thing right earlier where I said about them injecting like toxins? Russians are notorious
Yep.
The Russian agency are notorious for using this sort of stuff. It's not even like movie level stuff anymore because it literally happened in the UK.
Yeah.
We know it happened from Russian intelligence people. They were using it here. So I have no doubt that this could absolutely be the case. But I think my overall feeling about all these theories is, again, there seems to be a little bit of truth in all of them. For example, the Russian storyline or the plot line, it's a little bit speculative, right? There's really not enough evidence there to be like, this was the case. But I could completely understand why the MI6 would want to keep it super like locked off, and they would just want to kill this story off. They wouldn't want to come out and be like, it was the Russians, it was alright, because they look like dickheads having a double agent in their agency. They don't want to, that makes them look like, that makes them look stupid.
Yeah.
So it's in everyone's best interest to kill this story
100%
off.
100% silence it as quick as possible. He was a cross dresser, he was into fetishes and you know, that kind of stuff. He liked that. There is a thing where you enjoy being locked in tight spaces. I've forgotten the name of it, but that's what they've tried to sell it as.
I first of all, I just don't believe that at all. I definitely think there's something deeper. I don't think we will ever truly get our answer. And that's the sad thing about this particular case, is when it goes so high up, they'll do it no matter what. It's going
to
get buried.
They can squash this easily. And if anyone ever gets close to revealing the truth, they'll get squashed easily.
So let me just give you guys a quick update. There was a single hair found at the scene of the crime, and scientists believe that the advancements on DNA profiling could mean they're trying to get fresh information on this case. A police officer told the public that at this stage, no forensic review has been commissioned. However, the NPS is reviewing this new information and will assess whether there are any new investigative opportunities in this case. I'm going to tell you now.
It's not happening.
It's not happening.
It's not happening. Maybe in like 100 years when this is seen as a history case.
Yeah, that's true. And, your kids will be learning about it at school. But for now, guys, don't hold your breath. Thank you very much for watching today's Fellas Mysteries. Chip?
Make sure to subscribe, follow us on Spotify, and again, we will see you next Monday, 6 p.m. for a brand new case.